This morning's scripture is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is God's holy word.
When I did the children's message at 8 o'clock service, I let the children stay in the pew, and the third child received a note of, have courage. And I had written that last week, but I found out this morning that that child is on this coming Saturday taking her driver's test. So we were trying to encourage that young lady. So have courage. Thursday morning, we had a concert or a performance here in the sanctuary. The senior saints, most of them from Indiana, traveled over here. I know one of them drove an hour and a half to be here. There were about 50 in the group, and the youngest was 58, and the oldest was 91, and there were four more that were 90. And they sang a wide range and variety of songs and hymns and music. And they based their program on they began by singing songs when they were that they remember from when they were children. And then they sang some songs that they remembered from when their teen years or young adults, and then they ended up with songs that they cherish as seniors. And in between the songs, they shared some humorous stories, and they also shared some personal faith testimonies. And it was a whole realm of delightful hope and faith, in just a delightful program. And after that program, we had a luncheon down in the gym, and for some reason, I ended up near the exit door. So as the senior saints left, I found many of them saying, thank you for hosting us. Well, what are you thanking us for? You're the ones that did all the hard work. You shared your talents, and they blessed us, for those that were here, they blessed us with, I believe, a very strong word of encouragement, a strong word of hope. And one gentleman, we had a brief conversation, and he enjoys the senior saints because they sing, and he loves to sing. They sing about God, and he loves God. And he enjoys when they get together because they fellowship. You could tell, I mean, they all got here, well, some of them got here an hour early, some of them got here half an hour early, but as they were gathering and finding out where they were supposed to be, they were enjoying each other's company. They fellowship together. And they also enjoy the fellowship before and after the program and during the luncheon. So that aspect of fellowship as Christians. And one of them wanted to know, so the people that were out there, how many of them were from your church? How many were from the community? Now, I never think about asking those kind of questions, but I have learned someone is going to ask. And I said, maybe 50-50. And she said, well, that's great, because we always want to extend our message to more than just the people that we expect. They want to offer the hope to someone else. And I thought it was a great program. If you're not, well, you probably can't overwhelm them. They're also singing tomorrow at Fairlawn at 10 a.m., I was told, again this morning. But they might, I don't know where that's happening, but if you want to go check with Fairlawn at 8 o'clock in the morning and see if there's room. Hope. Biblical hope. It's not just that we are waiting for something to happen. We expect that good thing to happen in our life. We have hope that Christ is going to return. That is an expectant biblical basis of hope. Hope is important in all aspects of life. A man was walking up to a Little League baseball game one night, and he arrived a little late, and he asked one of the boys in the dugout, what's the score? And he said, oh, it's 10-0, and we're behind. And the man said, well, you probably are pretty discouraged already. And the little boy said, no, we haven't even got up to bat yet. He has hope that something's going to turn around in the bottom of that inning. Hope. 1988, Hurricane Gilbert struck the Louisiana coast. At that time, it was known as the storm of the century. And it brought in a lot of desolation of the Gulf Coast, including all those shrimpers that were out there. And the families that relied on the shrimp business, they had a tough time ahead of them. And the next day, a news reporter was interviewing one of those shrimpers and wanted to know how he was going to face the problem, face the day. And he said, well, I try to think about the good thing. The ocean floor has all been disturbed in remaking the shrimp beds. So when we can eventually get back out on the water, things will be better. That shrimper looked above his daily circumstances, and he had hope. A woman named Hope Phillips was sitting in the car at a park with her husband and her son down in Memphis, Tennessee. And she watched as a car drove down the road and the man drove right into the waters of Wolf River Harbor. She got out of her car and ran, and by the time she got to the edge, the car was about 25 feet out from shore, and he had climbed up on top of the sinking car. And she swam out, and she used a branch to help the guy, and then the wife's husband had come, and they got him back to shore. And he intentionally did that because he felt that he didn't have any value. And Hope Phillips told him, you have value because you're here right now. You're still here. And the man wanted to know, what's your name? And she said, Hope. And he asked two more times, what's your name? Hope. What's your name? Hope. And just by bearing that name and rescuing that man, he had a greater sense of his own value, that God placed that woman right there to give him hope. Biblical hope is what Paul is writing about here in the fifth chapter. Now, in the fourth chapter, Paul had given his readers assurance about that day when Jesus will return, about those who had fallen asleep and those who were still alive when Christ returns, what was going to happen. And Paul assures them that all will meet Jesus in the end. And he gives them that assurance. And then here in chapter 5, he again talks about the coming time, but he's giving the readers, he's given believers hope. Hope that is expectant. Hope that is assured. Hope that is going to happen. And as we look at these verses, one of the asides that I read in an article this week is that remember that Paul is writing this letter to a church that is being very faithful. Their faith is known around the world at that time for their strong faith. And they have faith, but Paul continues to write to them because it's what he's heard when Timothy had brought a report. And this instruction is so that believing Christians will continue to strengthen and deepen their lives of obedience. We can always grow closer to the Lord. Why was a 91-year-old person up there singing in a choir called the Senior Saints? because she still had that desire to offer hope, to offer faith to others. Now, as we look at these verses, I'm going to hit some key phrases. And they're key phrases because they're phrases that spoke to me during this last week. Okay? And I've never written a book, so they're just my take on a few things. And it depends. See, if I'm not in the pulpit and I'm out here, I can't see the clock. Plenty of time. I want to go to verse 2. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. It's going to come suddenly. If you're looking at the sermon page in the bulletin, I have there the reading from Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. This is the teaching of Jesus about that day. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. There's lots of books. There's lots of people that have tried to predict when that day will come. I tend not to read that. I do not wonder or worry or ponder when that day is going to happen, because I trust in God's hope. He's in charge. Just let that day come. As it was in the days of Noah. Now, anybody alive when Noah was here? But somehow we know what those days were like when we read the word that God gives. There was evil. There was unrighteousness. And people were just living life. They were doing what they wanted to do. Paul writes, as it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. This is the teaching of Jesus himself. This is his word. We don't have to fear that day because he has worked to prepare us. He has given us instructions on how to be prepared. Remember, he's trying to deepen his readers' faith. And so here in the days of Noah, people were just living life. They were going to work. They were coming home. They were working in the garden. They were ice fishing in the winter. They were going to family celebrations. I don't know if they went to basketball games back in the days of Noah or baseball games, but they were living life. And all of a sudden, there was the ark. And many were not ready. And so Paul includes that word of warning, that word of concern, in this letter to the Thessalonians. And once I find it again, in this aspect of in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that again. While people, verse 3, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Just like the people in Noah's time were caught off guard, there are going to be people, it's so sudden. Will we understand what's going on? How suddenly? As labor pains on a pregnant woman. Now, I have to tread very carefully when I read this kind of information. Obviously, I'm a male, and I've never experienced those except through interactions and observations with my wife. And I know what that was like from observing, not feeling, and that's all I'm going to say. But throughout Scripture, there are various recordings that that's an example of what the end times are going to be like. It's going to come sudden, and it's going to be painful. And you may not know when that's going to occur. Verse 4. Paul spends some time, again, talking about the imagery of the darkness in the imagery of the light. Darkness in light. You are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. If you're not in the darkness, what are you in? You're in the light. As children of the light, children of Jesus, we are in the light. We know everything is visible. That tells me, because I'm in the light, I know what is sinful behavior. When I'm weak, I give in, but I recognize what I've done wrong, and I confess, and I seek God's forgiveness. But we're in the light, and we recognize that. Not so for many in the world. Whatever I want to do, I'm going to do, and you can't stop me. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Not the night and the darkness, we belong to the light. Let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. To offer words of encouragement, instead of words of hurt and words of pain, when you are about to say something hurtful, you have half a second to say, oh, I shouldn't say that. Can you catch yourself? That's why I'm glad that I am an introvert, and I've learned to rely on that introversion where I have to internally think before I speak, and when I rely on that, I have pauses before I say something back to somebody, and that saved me from saying some hurtful words over the course of my life. We have time because we do not belong to the night or the darkness. Let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. I've read this before, and somehow it hit me this time, my childhood. I grew up with an alcoholic father. I didn't necessarily recognize that when I was real young, but there were times when we were upstairs, all six children, and Mom opened the front door, and there were two policemen with our father. Once again, caught driving drunk. I know three times when that happened, and every single time was at night. I wonder if that's why my mom would always tell me, nothing good happens after midnight. Or after night. Be home when, you know, you're supposed to be. Somehow the thievery, the drunkenness, the party, whatever, we think that we might get away with that at night. Not as many people are going to see or notice. We are people of the light. Whether it's midnight or not, we are people of the light. We know God. We know Jesus. And he challenges us and equips us to be self-controlled. But since we belong to the day, in verse 8, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of Noah, the people that were unrighteous and didn't listen to God, they suffered God's wrath in that time. We are being warned about not suffering that wrath. And if we believe in Jesus Christ, we're not going to suffer that wrath. We are going to be rescued. We are going to be saved because of the salvation we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds them, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. That is an expected, promised hope for our future, for the future of believers. Now, not everyone knows this. Not everyone believes this. So we have more work to do. As churches, as individuals, to be self-controlled. I told you, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, you know, you go away for a family weekend. You're 2 hours, an hour and a half away. How far were we away from home? Long enough that nobody's going to know us. And I can let my hair down. I've never said that expression before, but it just hit me. My introversion didn't kick in time. You go to the first restaurant, and there's a couple that used to be members of this church, and they've moved. Eric, you still got to be that pastor. I joke about that, but I mean, I try to live that all of the time. Being a pastor makes it much easier because I have lots of people watching out for me. And I think God planted that couple there to remind me, behave. In verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. To encourage, to give courage to one another. I have courage. I have no fear about death. I have courage and I have no fear about when Jesus comes back, because we will be together with Jesus Christ forever. And we continue to share that with others in whatever ministry you can be involved in. Praise be to God. Amen.
Please rise as you're able as we respond in praise. We have been hearing about hope the last few weeks, and this is a song that is filled with hope, and it is a joyful song, putting our focus on heaven and the return of our Lord. Let's continue to lift up our voices and our worship with the song, We Will Dance.
we come into our time of prayer, you can note on the back of the bulletin our new prayer concern that Jack Stover suffered another stroke. And so they're going through these initial hours of waiting to see what that'll all mean, but we can be praying for Jack and for Barb. Let's bow in prayer before the Lord. God of hope, God of this day, God of our hearts, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for those times when you are even more real to us and we feel your presence with a word that you've offered, with a scene that you've given us, with a piece of encouragement, with the reality of hope. We thank you, O God, for your presence and for your holiness, for your love and your grace. It's always interesting, Lord, to read the scriptures, words that were written, penned so long ago, for their benefit and for our benefit yet today and long into the future. Whatever that future you have planned for us, I pray that its truth, its hope, would resonate in our hearts and our minds, not just in this hour, but throughout every moment of our life. You have given us the responsibility, O God, to be self-controlled, to be alert, to be prepared, to be an encourager. Lord God, we praise you for the ways that you have placed people in our lives to encourage us. Help us to learn, no matter our personality, no matter our shyness or introversion or extroversion or whatever it might be, help us to be an encourager in ways that will please you and share hope with others. Lord, we pray for schools. Some schools began last week and other schools will begin this week in our area. We pray for their blessing. We pray for the staff. We pray for the administrator and the teachers. We pray for all the staff members in the school. We pray for the children and the youth. We pray for families. Lord, we pray for good attitudes and a willingness to learn and to be devoted to what school requires. That children and youth can mature and grow in responsibility, in knowledge, and through the faith. Lord, we pray for LifeWise and that program that is beginning in even more of our area schools. We pray for the blessing of that program, for those children, for those families. Lord, we lift up to you, Jack and Barb. We pray for Jack's health. We pray for the miracle of healing. We pray for Barb as his wife, as caregiver, as fielding all the questions and the direction from the doctors and the staff. We pray for their hope and their peace. Lord, united in prayer, united in worship, hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. At this time, I'll invite the ushers forward to collect our tithes and offerings. Gracious Heavenly Father, we offer these gifts to you. We ask you to bless them and use them as you see fit. In your name we pray. Amen.
We do not know the day or the hour of Christ's return, but what we do know is that one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Our closing song is Glorious Day, Living He Loved Me. And following the spoken benediction, we will sing that chorus again for the benediction and song.
Thank you.
It is the word of glory. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.